Fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety, and those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service tick training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Thin Red Line Decon Products, making decontamination as simple as possible for you with decon wipes, shampoo, body wash, and more. Haas Alert, creator of the safety cloud for our roads. Fry Guy Levers and Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tools for the fire service. Silver Arrow Coaching and Consulting, unlock your potential from burnout to brilliance. Crackle Magazine, serving the International Fire Service. EFT Corporation, 40 plus years of innovation in donation and payment processing solutions. Health KPI, teaching you how to track the right data to stay at the top of your game. The Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004. The Firefighter Cancer Support Network. The Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The Five Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be here with you. And as always, happy to have you here with us. My guest today is a gentleman I've had the pleasure of meeting online and corresponding with, Mr. Corey Pern. He is the editor-in-chief and CEO of Crackle Media up in Ontario, Canada. He is a 20-year firefighter veteran, recently promoted to captain. And we are talking about his magazine, called Crackle Magazine. And it is a magazine that is not what we're kind of used to down here in the U.S. This is a magazine for the fire service and other first responders also as well that talks about our wellness and our health, the cancer initiative, the behavioral health initiatives. All of that is wrapped up into this really great magazine. I have the opportunity to read several issues that Corey was kind enough to send me over the summer and really enjoyed what I was reading. So I look forward to bringing him on in just a couple of minutes. Now, when you're on our website, and maybe that's where you're listening to the podcast, we hope that you will maybe submit your email so we can send you our newsletter. We only send about four or five out in a given year. We don't send spam. We do not sell or give away your email addresses whatsoever. We protect them to the best of our ability under the laws of the state of Florida and the federal government. So should you ever wish to unsubscribe, all you have to do is send an email to us at our business address, dalmatprod@outlook.com. Put the word unsubscribe, please, in the subject line, and we'll make sure as soon as we get it, we'll take you off the subscription list. But we hope you won't want to do that. If you're looking for previous episodes of the show, if you listen to us on a major podcast platform, you can probably find all 220-plus episodes there. However, you can always find them on our website at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. And on the horizontal menu, just select the word podcast, and that will bring you to our entire library of audio podcasts. Our videos you can always find on our YouTube channel, which is basically the same name, the name of our channel is 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. To all our friends on Facebook, thank you for the likes that keep coming in. Thank you for the nice comments about our episodes. I read those at least once a week. If I can get them more frequently, I do. But we appreciate, over the years, the building of those numbers and your promotion, your great comments that you send us, and how much it means to us. I guess we really just can't have a great way of saying thank you other than saying thank you, because it means a great deal to all of us. Now, a lot of you listen to us on podcast platforms, and that's wonderful. However, there was a little hiccup. And what it is that most of these platforms use podcast ratings as part of the algorithm when somebody's looking for a podcast. So if you have good ratings, like multiple star ratings or a couple of nice sentences that are very effusive and positive, well, you'll wind up higher if someone's looking for that podcast. And if you don't have good ratings, whether they're stars or comments, you're going to wind up lower. So it's not only important to us as podcasters here at Five Alarm Task Force, but it's important to many, many, many podcasters out there who give time from their day-to-day lives to make podcasts for the people who love to listen to them. So please keep that in mind. If you could take a moment and just leave us a star review on your platform or a sentence or two, just to let us know and let the podcast platform know what you think of Five Alarm Task Force. And that's it. That's our business for today. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after these words with our guest, Corey Pern from Crackle Magazine. As always, please stay tuned. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 thermography certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com, your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training LLC? Well, here's part of their upcoming schedule. Max Firebox, Tactical Thermal Imaging Training in Baltimore, Maryland. Insight Training will be providing 5 days with 2 classes per day to firefighters in the Baltimore, Maryland area. The White Marsh Volunteer Fire Company, in conjunction with the Baltimore County Firefighters Association and Local 1311, will host Insight Training LLC on the dates of October 12th through 16th for the training program to take place over 5 days and consist of 2 4-hour sessions per day with 25 participants per session. The address and contact information is 10331 Philadelphia Road, P.O. Box 309. White Marsh, Maryland, 21162, telephone 410-887-5770. October 18th, Tactical Thermal Imaging Nitro Fire Department in West Virginia. Insight Training instructor Joey Baxa will provide an 8-hour classroom live fire hybrid demonstration training at Nitro Fire Department on October 18th of 2023. The class is scheduled from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., with 2 live fire demonstrations involving a Max Firebox and a Palmer Dollhouse. The class will be held at 2009 20th Street, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. Telephone is 304-755-1437. And on November 8th, 2023, Insight Training will be providing 2 days of classroom and live fire training to the Parker County Emergency Services District No. 1 and surrounding departments. This event is hosted by Parker County Emergency Services, District Number 1. For information, contact Charlie Dahl, D as in Delta, A-L-L, Battalion Chief of Training. You can reach him via email at C as in Charlie, D as in Delta, A as in Apple, L as in Lincoln, L as in Lincoln, at P as in Peter, C as in Charlie, E as in Echo, S as in Sam, D as in Delta, 1.com. That's C Dahl, C-D-A-L-L, at P as in Peter, C, E, S as in Sam, D as in Delta, 1.com. Lead instructors Thomas Anderson and Reagan Underwood will be facilitating instruction for this event. Remember to check the Insight Training LLC website or Facebook page for more information and registration. Insight Training LLC, your best bet for tick training. The Firehouse Tribune has expanded, now bringing you podcasts, presentations, and training blogs. The Firehouse Tribune is an innovative way for emergency services professionals to interact, share ideas, learn, and train. We are inspired by those who came before us and built a path for us to share knowledge and experience with the rest of the emergency services world, where life experiences and training come together. Check out our podcasts, Station Talk, and the 5-Tool Firefighter Podcast. Want us to speak at your department or event? Reach out to us to set up workshops at your firehouse or virtual event on topics including the 5-Tool Firefighter, 5 Key Attributes of the Well-Rounded Firefighter, and 6 Tips to Guide the New Fire Officer. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more info, please visit www.firehousetribune.com or email us at fhtribunepodcast@gmail.com. The New Firehouse Tribune Services, where we live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We're firefighters. We're law enforcement. But like everyone else, we have our aches and pains, sometimes from the job and sometimes not. We realize there are risks with this job. However, sometimes something is wrong with us and we don't know it. Now what do? Well, LifeScan Wellness Centers are dedicated to saving America's heroes. For most fire and police organizations, LifeScan Wellness Centers will send one of their mobile teams to assess every member of your department with complete and complex physical exams and blood work. Using state-of-the-art medical equipment, LifeScan staff members provide a multi-procedural exam, including cardiac stress tests, basic lab results, and ultrasound exams. LifeScan wellness exams have saved the lives of dozens of firefighters and police officers across the country. They have found tumors, aortic bulges, lung problems, and more, many of which were asymptomatic. However, early detection allowed most of these colleagues to have their personal medical professionals mitigate the health issue that otherwise might have led to a darker time. For more information, please visit their website at lifescanwellness.com. Remember, LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. Hello, and welcome to another episode of 5 Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be here with you. Happy to have you here with us. And if you've watched, listening to the audio, well, you've already heard our intro. And today, I am honored to have as my guest an editor, editor-in-chief, publisher of a Canadian fire magazine, but it's not the kind of fire magazine we here in the U.S. are used to. We know our big name magazines, 3, 4, or 5 big names in this country, and they're great magazines. I've been learning from a couple of them since 77, and I still read them page to page today. However, when I got to read Crackle magazine, we're going to talk about it in a second, I saw a higher level. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But let me tell you about my guest today. And this is Corey Pern. He is a firefighter captain in Ontario. He is the publisher, editor-in-chief, and CEO of Crackle Media, Inc. He is a 20-year professional firefighter, an industry author, keynote speaker, and a keynote speaker who acts as a passionate mental health advocate. spreading awareness on what it takes to not only survive, but thrive in the dynamic job of firefighting. Crackle Media, Inc. was founded to assist firefighters in managing the stresses and obstacles that we encounter on and off the job. The company also focuses on educating firefighters about career longevity and promoting health and wellness. In the spring of 2021, Crackle Magazine was launched successfully as a lifestyle and health publication for firefighters in North America and beyond. Corey brings an eclectic background in publishing and firefighting to his role at Crackle Magazine. Being a career firefighter of 20 years and recently promoted to captain, Corey understands the dynamics of the job and how it directly relates to physical and mental health on and off the job. He created Crackle to tackle those topics in a way that encourages and supports firefighters on relatable levels. He wants everyone who picks up the magazine or reads it online to leave feeling a sense of camaraderie and inclusion. Corey built Crackle around the six pillars of a firefighter, including relationships, stress, finances, health, fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle. He and his fantastic team at Crackle Magazine have sourced some of the best experts out there to tell the story of the firefighter, be it at the firehouse or at home. You can find Crackle on social media with the at Crackle Magazine. Crackle, by the way, spelled C-R-A-C-K-Y-L. So on social media, Crackle Mag, or you can journey over to their website at www.cracklemag.com and subscribe to their digital access for free. I want to get Crackle into the hands of every firefighter, making it an accessible resource that can be relied upon no matter your situation. And that's Corey's quote. Corey, welcome to Five Alarm Task Force. It's a pleasure and honor to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Yeah.
I want to add that as I mentioned before we started recording, that I did find the magazine to be a different focus. It wasn't just on tactics and fire stories, etc. This is more about who we are as we live our lives as firefighters.
That's right.
You really embrace everything that we do, everything that we see, everything that we deal with, and our personal lives. All that's kind of wrapped up. As you look through the magazine, you can find almost one article each issue that hits every one of these dots on the shopping list. How did you come up with that concept?
Yeah, I wanted to learn more myself, really, about what makes us be able to do our job. I feel like we always fall into the same traps, as I like to call it, with our relationships. Or, you know, again, managing expectations is, I think, a big part of our mental health and understanding where we fit into, our outside relationships, whether it's friends and family, obviously our firehouse family and coworkers. So it's really just trying to figure out where we fit in, managing expectations and our behaviors. So Crackle was built in the framework of that. It was, how can I go to work and do my job if I'm already stressed out, strung out, broke, working overtime, but already spent the money? Like it's like you're in quicksand, and somewhere there had to be a stop, like a lost stop and a new beginning, where we start looking at ourselves a little bit differently. And we are human. We aren't, special in the sense that we're made of, other ingredients than everybody else. We are human beings, and we have to manage our ourselves. And we want to be there for our communities. We want to be there for our fellow firefighters. So how can we do that if we're coming in tired, hungover, stressed out, going through a divorce, broken? It's a hard hill to climb. So that's what Crackle is. Crackle is a carrot that's dangling in front of us to hopefully, ask better questions. And, we mentioned the kitchen table. So to me, it's the firefighter in the room that has the answers. and it's written to, and it's, it speaks to us in a way that it is from another firefighter, or has that type of dialogue that we can immediately pick up, you know, the little nuggets that come out of these articles and apply them to our life. So,
right. Right. Yeah. I noticed in reading some of the issues you sent me that you have authors from all walks of life. And by the way, folks, full disclosure, I do have an article being published in the coming issue. But Corey and I had talked about this before this happened, about getting him onto the podcast, because they had published one about a year ago for me. But I think what I see in Crackle is some more of the the good glue that we use with the best wallpaper we put up, is that it, instead of just slapping anything on there that just is handy, we want to do it in a more artistic and neat fashion. And I think that's what the articles approach with lifestyle, with the lifestyle. You know, as we mentioned again off air last week, we had a great interview with Andy Clark of PKI Health and like 911lifestyle.com, and not only did she help me, but she explained so much about how, because of her, you know, 30 years in sleep issues, resilience issues, et cetera, stress issues with firefighters and law enforcement and EMS, because she's worked with all three branches, that there is a level that we can all be at that doesn't ask too much of us, that helps us get back on an even plane. And I think the articles that you see in Crackle magazine are very similar. They're balanced, and each article addresses the issues of today and maybe tomorrow that we're facing, and not just talking about what it used to be back in the day. Because yeah, I'm the old fart, I admit that. You know, I'm the old guy here, probably out longer than most listeners have been in. But I think that the fact is that if we are willing to open our eyes, as many have done, especially with the two major challenges facing us, which is the Firefighter Cancer Initiative and the fire behavioral health issues, that your magazine guides us along these paths with various people. It's not all the same people every single month, same doctor every single month. You have people who are out in the field every day doing the job and saying, man, I got to talk about this with somebody. How do I do it? And they find their way to you, or they've already been a reader or whatever. It brings them to Crackle, and you look at these pieces and said, yeah, this is an important one. We got to talk about this in our lifestyle or our, you know, firefighter cancer column for this month, because we really need to attack these latest findings. And I think it's something that is not as well published and presented to our firefighters as much as it should be. Yes, they hear the stuff about the cancer warnings, the carcinogens and PFAS and PFOS. Yes, we know about stress, and we see crap that we don't want anybody else to have to see. And we've gotten to the point where, for the most part, not everybody, but we've graduated beyond the suck it up lifestyle advice. I got it when I had one of the worst calls I was ever on in those 8 years. I'm not going to claim I had PTSD from it, but it's a call that still bothers me 47 years later. And my buddy who was on the call with me, who's still my best friend today and lives in the state of Florida, whenever we're together, we always talk about several of these calls, because we're the only two who are still around with each other that can talk about it. And we were on them. It wasn't that we just shooting the breeze. We were on these calls and we keep saying, did we do the right thing? Did we do the best? And 47 years later, we're still criticizing ourselves. Yeah. But by doing that, it helps us cleanse a little bit each time we're together.
Right.
And that's, I think, what I'm seeing in Crackle Magazine as well. Yeah, you attack
the connection part is very, very important, right? It's one of our basic needs. And so, you know, sharing those stories allows you to connect and, you know, allows you to kind of get to a different place.
And you can do it privately. You can do it openly, but you got to do it. You got to do it because if you let it, you know, it's like you're boiling water on the stove and boils slowly. You're waiting for it. You put a cover on it. And if you don't remember your high school science, when you put that cover on, you're creating more pressure in that pot. That water is going to boil faster and might boil over sooner than you expected. We don't want any longer to see our firefighters boil over.
Right.
Because it doesn't usually happen on a call. Doesn't usually happen necessarily at the station. But away from the job is when it often happens. And I think some of us are too damn proud to reach out to, I'm not even talking about a professional, reach out to a friend and say, hey, can I meet you at the restaurant, at the diner, or at the bar? And I got to talk about something. Remember that call we had a couple of weeks ago? I got to sit and talk with somebody about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to, it's very important to, like you said, that pressure cooker of your life, right? So, and it's easier said than done too. It's kind of a moving target. It's modular. There's good days and bad days. You'll still have those. That's what we call life is, you know, we have to, it's negative things are going to happen and we do have to absorb them and try to make sense of them. But, you know, we're not trying to create a bubble around firefighters or an illusion that, you know, the magazine is going to solve all of your problems. But, you know, what we do want is the firefighter to kind of internalize a bit more and again, learn about why we react the way we react if we don't deal with things, because there are reasons and there are answers. And that's kind of my discovery even to this point, because I'm learning as I go. And every article that comes in, I always say to myself, okay, make me care. I don't want fluff. I don't want, you know, a bunch of, just a bunch of words on paper that I can't kind of relate to. So that's kind of the essence of Crackle is trying to be realistic and try to get through. I would say that firefighters have a certain noise level that we have to get through. We're very unique, you know, breed of people in the sense of how we think. We do see things, we are special in that regard, and we become tainted in certain ways as well. And we want to believe people. We start to kind of think about, well, why am I fighting so hard if this is how we're treated? And so we're trying to manage all these things. But I think it's important to kind of have that synergy between us, even just in the chats that we've had. Like they're very valuable. You know, and valuable for you, they're valuable for me. And I think that's really ultimately what we need to do here. And the other publications are, they're very, very important to the fire service as well, as far as, you know, that's kind of like our newspaper. It's how we see what, you know, our finger on the pulse of as what's happening in the industry. But Crackle is something that's just to complement kind of what we already have existing and just fill a big gap that was there, you know. And so we have our career and we have, you know, home. So it's that bridge in between, and that's really, you know, it's a perfect storm. So
it is. I think it's difficult sometimes for us to see through the rose colored glasses, take them off and see what reality is like. But the fact that we, you know, as the old joke goes, you know, the two things that firefighters dislike the most are status quo and change.
Yes.
So we have to find a way to wiggle through those two phrases and still serve the greater good.
Yeah.
We all go through calls, life situations that are challenging. We're not superheroes, as you said. We don't have X-ray vision. We can't jump tall buildings in a single bound. Some people may see us as heroes because of the jobs we do. And that's for all three branches of first responders. But the fact is, we have to realize that we are no different than the people we serve.
Right.
And when we go on an EMS call, we take care of somebody, that could very well be us 2 days later.
Yes.
Needing help. It was when I first got ill 2 years ago, and I had a call, our rescue. Luckily, we have one station right down the street, and these guys know that I'm a former firefighter. I have the red stripe flag flying at the house. And when I came to the door and the caps said to me, you called us? You need us? I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, oh, man, guys, come on. Let's go. Let's get taken care of him. And, you know, I was kind of happy, but I was surprised that he said me, just because I was a firefighter and I'm in my, in my 70s now. Doesn't mean that I don't get sick. I don't have health problems.
Sure, exactly.
I didn't trip over a it happens to all of us. Life happens, no matter what. So one of the things that I liked is the fact that it kind of like was, I guess, providence that our desire this season, when we decide to come back for an eighth season, to put more emphasis on the cancer initiative and the health, behavioral health issues, that you and I kind of connected that first time. And you were kind enough to take that article about a year ago. And when I wrote this one, and I had looked back, because I remembered, they didn't take it and they didn't take it, but Crackle, was that the name of it? Crackle was that magazine that did it. And I reached out because the article, and you'll have a chance to read it when it comes out, folks, addresses the behavioral health issues. And the one that I saw the most, because I'm part of it, is at two levels. One talks about the firefighter who's got 20, 25, 30 years in. And he or she retires. Now, they've had this life for this entire time, this dual identity, husband, father, brother, sister, son, and firefighter, whatever that family relation is, and firefighter. But you're out of it. Good luck, Bill. Have a nice time. Have a nice life. Have a great retirement. Stay healthy. And that's it. And Bill or Sue walk out the door after the bash. What do I do now? And the other part of it is being disabled out before you ever even get to your prime, was what happened to me with a knee injury that occurred at a drill in my first department, a state-sponsored drill, the first department, with a knee injury, and caught up with me at the second department and took me out of active service. I was devastated.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything as behavioral health initiatives in those days. I was just a young kid. This is 85 already. So I was just a little bit over 30. And I was out of it. And the doc said I couldn't, both my orthopedist and the fire surgeon said I couldn't serve anymore. Well, they were nice enough. They made me an inspector in the village, which was okay. And I did set up a video unit for them so I could meet the heavy rescue, get the video cameras off and start shooting. That I was allowed to do. But it wasn't the same. it wasn't the same action. I didn't have the same adrenaline pumping through me when the pager went off to send me on a call. I only lived from the first station. I only lived a quarter mile away. So I made a lot of calls. I was always in the top 10%. But when that's when you're robbed of that part of your life, when you're not prepared for it, it has an effect on you. And if it doesn't, then you still need to get help because it should have an effect on you.
Sure. Yeah.
This is a passion. You know, whether you're a volunteer as I was, or you're a career person, and you put those 25, 30 years in, and suddenly this whole world that you were a part of is gone, per se. Yes, hopefully you're with family, and you're in good health, and you got some hobbies, but it still takes a period of time to adapt. And I felt that there have been stories, few and far between, that I've heard either through friends on social media or people when some other people where the topic has come up. Oh, hold on, guys. What? Oh, Bill's at the door. He wants to buy. Oh, God, he's back again. Yeah. He was just here 2 days ago. What does he have to come here for?
Yeah.
When we do that, remember that one day you're going to be finished with that fire department one way or another.
Yeah.
And what if you want to go back for lunch just to see the gang?
For sure. Yeah.
You don't want them to, you know, think you're being a pain in the butt. You don't, but this is your second family.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I think, one of the key areas that keeps Crackle at that higher level, addressing our lives, not just the job,
yes,
but our lives.
Yeah. And there's definitely a lot of material there in even unpacking just the retirement, you know, portion of it. Everything you said is 100% true. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. We do a retirement dinner every year, and then, you know, it's a great event, but we should do it more. You know, it shouldn't just be once a year. And having our firefighters come back, some come back, some don't. Right. And then
right,
life happens, and, you know, there is that they, you know, they don't want to be a nuisance. So yeah, it impacts that firefighter very much. And definitely, and I think it's good for the current firefighters to have that history too. And that they're, you know, when we become firefighters, we are part of the fire service. Like, we are ingrained
right
forever in, yep, as, you know, as members and contributing to what makes the fire service, you know, as amazing as it is. So, you know, we have that right, you know, to continue to be a part of it.
Right.
You know, we gave everything we had for it.
So. Exactly. And we gave up a lot for it as well. I mean,
absolutely,
you know,
all the family time. Family time, yeah. Everything. Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so a little bit of, you know, happiness that we do get in the sense of, you know, is going back and stepping back in that fire station and, you know, breathing the firehouse air, as I like to say.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's good. Yeah.
Right. And you see new equipment and you see new firefighters. And, you know, yeah, we always try to teach our young recruits who are coming in to always look for the senior firefighter in your department or in your shift or in your house, whatever it is, because oftentimes they would love to help reach out to a newer firefighter and kind of guide them on something as simple as knots to how they balance life and work at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, you know, if everybody could do that, really. And I don't even know if they'd have the answers on how they balance their life, because that's kind of why we're here. But yeah, and I think, you know, managing our relationships is probably the, you know, that and finances are probably our two biggest,
right,
you know, hurdles, and where we fail. It's typically when we're on the job, that's our strength, where, you know, it's at home that we're failing, you know. It's always saying yes to everybody, and, you know, your schedule fills up really quick, Now you're letting people down that you kind of triage your life, right? Like,
right.
My wife may not see me for 3 days because I think she's fine. So I'm going to go help this person move. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And I'm going to the hockey game tonight. And I'm, you know, and then I realize I've been gone for, 3 days. And, so you really have to kind of manage that. And I'm terrible for a busy calendar, but I do try to, again, since Crackle, really try to find that balance. And I even have work that I push off, because if I get it done today, that's fine, but it will still be, a good thing with problems is there are problems tomorrow, right? So it's
right.
I will get to it tomorrow. I'm going to spend some time with the family. I will try to make that extra effort and really kind of see through the BS that I tell myself. Am I really accomplishing that quality time? Am I spending time with my daughter, taking her out, learning how to drive, or, am I really, doing what I say I need to be doing? And now I've, it is really hard to say no to extracurricular activities. You really have to kind of balance that, or at least be in some type of control.
Right.
Because you can be on every night of the week if you want.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. And take extra shifts for somebody else. And that's great. You're being a friend and you're being a fellow firefighter, but at what price? Sometimes you have to ask yourself.
Well, I would say too, like we're not in trouble with our partners and spouses because of things we're doing. It's usually because of things we're not doing. And, so I think even asking and getting their opinion, or would it, you're not really asking permission, but you're definitely having them part of that decision-making. And I think even that step is a huge step for us, because no one tells us what to do. And, and I think our intentions are always good too. So we always balance our decisions by our intentions, and our intentions are good because we're going here to help so-and-so. So that's what we do, but we really have to kind of have one more little filter in there to just kind of include the people that can make or break our personal lives. So,
right. Right. And we know that that's very important. If we have a messed up personal life, there's no way that stops at the firehouse door. It doesn't. Yeah. It's one of those commercials where there's this monster on your back saying, sure, you didn't talk to the wife and kids about coming to do this today, sure, but I got you out the door anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have that ogre pushing you.
Like, I mean, we understand. Like, if I ask you to help me move and you say, look, I haven't been home in 3 days, I really I'll see what I can do, but I'll no one's going to say, oh, that's, okay, fine. Like, everyone's going to be, I completely understand. They should say that, because it's like, go home and save your marriage, like that's, and I'll, and there'll always be someone else too. And I think if it's just if it's a moving target and, that type of thing, and if you can stop in or whatever, but we'll always find a way. That's what we're good at. We're good problem solvers. So,
right.
We'll find a way to help in some way, shape or form. Maybe it's not that day, but maybe they want to hang a TV and you're going over the next day or something, so you're not missing something at home, that type of thing. So it's really trying to find that balance and, kind of shifting time, really.
Right. Right. So with all that said, let's take, what brought you to the fire service in your community?
My story isn't really too crazy. I was actually a refrigeration, heating, air conditioning mechanic. I was in my fifth year of my apprenticeship. I thought I was going to take over my parents' business. So my destiny was running that company. And then, I ended up going to an information night for the fire service and, realizing I didn't have what I needed at the time to even apply, but it was just I came home that night and I told my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, that I want to be a firefighter. And just I don't know what it was about it. I think I don't know, there's just, I could feel the presence in the room that this is something that really intrigued me. I grew up in the country, so as far as seeing fire trucks driving by and that didn't happen. We didn't visit the stations, and you know, so I didn't know any firefighters at the time. And so it was never, I guess it was never something I thought of to be. And then I think I really just kind of loved the challenge of it. I thought, you know, and then, so I just jumped in. I jumped in with 2 feet, and the next weekend I was taking medical courses and, you know, and kind of learning this new language, as I like to say, of the fire service. But, you know, I've always been, you know, in the sports, and I was a quarterback through high school and loved the team environment. And I think firefighting really kind of brought that out. I was also very shy growing up. Playing football definitely kind of got me out of that shyness, as you're, you know, yelling your cadence and, you know, audibling out of a play. And so it really kind of made me come out of my shell and kind of go after things that I wanted. I felt like being shy had kind of really repressed a lot of things that I wanted to do, and it controlled me. So I think it was kind of liberating. And I think definitely the fire service has continued that journey for me. And you know, even just being here now speaking to you, like this is you know, something that I would have never been able to do. And so it's, you know, we're always learning about ourselves. And I think this right. is, it's a journey. And the fire service to me is, I owe it more than I've ever given it. That's for sure. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's the best thing I ever did.
I share that feeling with you. That's why I started the podcast originally in 2016, because I wanted to give back. So on social media, I met a bunch of firefighters there, and so they started cajoling me. He says, you know, you got a lot of good things to say about the fire service for a guy who's been out for a while, but you really should have a podcast about it. I said, okay, that's great. I said, what's a podcast? And they said, well, you've been in radio. I said, yeah, I know what radio is. I did a radio show about the fire service for 3.5 years with another gentleman. I said, but what's a podcast? Well, it's like a radio show, but it's put on the internet. I said, well, I can't afford to go to a radio station and start trying to do a show. No. And I went through the learning process. Let me ask you this. Was your first department, was it a career or was it a volunteer when you first joined?
It was a career department, same department I work for today. Yeah. So, so when I was going through the process, I learned very quickly that there was a lot to be involved, you know, to actually pursue this career. Like you can't just be good at one aspect of, you know, whether it's writing tests or a physical part, you know, volunteering and you know, kind of having that kind of painting a picture that you understand what you're asking for, really. And so to me, it was, you know, it was just trying to get into a career that everyone says they know somebody that's trying to get in or be, you know, here, but there wasn't really any guidelines on how to choose a course over a, you know, one course over another, or what fire departments were looking for. So I kind of dove into that as I was going through my recruitment. I started kind of making notes and kind of keeping a log, which ended up ultimately turning into a self-published book on how to become a firefighter. So that was, it was all about the strategy. And I really kind of worked backwards growing up with my parents running a business. I, you know, kind of living in the lion's den as far as, you know, all the stories and the, you know, of coworkers or employees are doing this and doing that. You kind of, you are learning all the time about,
right,
you know, about that. And I've always looked at being an employee from the employer's perspective. So what would they need, or what, you know, that type of thing, as if I'm working for my parents, like, you know. So that was always the way I looked at it. And it made me, when I put this book together, I kind of looked at it from a fire department's perspective, and it was really kind of working backwards from the job offer. So trying to be something that they would want in the fire, you know, in their fire department, or to create depth, to, you know, fill a void that they may have and things like that. And ultimately, you know, being a fit to the fire department and, you know, and complementing what they have going, not disrupting it. So,
right.
But that's a fine line. So that was a, you know, big discovery for me and doing that. And then, Yeah, so it's fun now. I still help recruits get hired. My door is always open. I actually just got asked to come back and do a Zoom call with where I went to fire school. So,
oh, wow.
As an alumni, but they invited me out to the school to see it because of Crackle, but they didn't know I actually attended their school. So it became kind of a fun meeting. And anyways, it's gone full circle. So to be able to give back, you know, now to people that were, I remember it like it was yesterday. So yeah, it was a neat moment. So, and that is what makes the fire service the fire service. Right.
Right. Now. And, you know, you came in though with certain skills because of working for your parents.
Yeah.
One of the things that really made an impression on me is, number one, I was the first college graduate to ever apply to this department. And my buddy and I were the first two Jewish people to ever apply to this department in the heart of the Bible Belt, the South Bible Belt. And I knew how to use hand tools because my dad, may he rest in peace, taught me basic hand tools.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any skills. I couldn't change the oil in my car. I could check the oil level. I knew how to do that. But when I joined this department, one of the guys who really became our for Rich and me, my partner and me, our mentor, was also, he wasn't just teaching us or teaching me about firefighting stuff. He taught me about what it's like to work with your hands and do more stuff. And he taught me how to change my oil. And yes, did he tell me, put me under the pan and say, just undo that bolt and pull it out and you'll be fine? Sure, I did. And I got a snoot full of oil, you know, but that was the joke. It was like when we were voted in, the night we were voted in, they want to show us the impeller. There were seven of us who were voted in that night. So we all gathered around. I'm wearing a three-piece suit that night because it was a Jewish holiday. I came right from work. And he says, okay, guys, I'm just going to pull this handle. You guys look close. You'll see that wheel. That's the impeller that moves the water in the pump. And of course, he pulled down the lever. We all got a quick shower. And everyone was stunned. And then we all started laughing. And he said, welcome to the Guilford College Fire Department.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was hooked that night. I figured that I could be another fun person. I could learn how to be with my skills and my learning skills and teaching skills. I could be a contributing member of this department if somebody would take the time to train me. Yes, there was regular training in the department and regional conferences, but it was this one guy, our good friend Roger, who really took us under his wing and really helped us become better firefighters. And it was only, that was 77, 80. So it wasn't until I saw the chief again, who was still in 2017. I hadn't seen him in probably 30 years. And he said to me, Stephen, you ever wonder why I sent you and Richard and Roger to that state fire college for 3 years? And I said, Chief, Rich and I talk about it every time we're together. He said, I'll tell you why, boys. And I never told you back then. It's because I saw you boys as leaders. I saw how much time you put into learning to be here. You spent every minute you could be away from your families to be here, to help us, to learn, to do this, to do that. Stephen, even though you keep kosher and you're Jewish, you came and helped at the barbecue, our annual fundraiser. He said, you had no problem tearing the meat off and helping carry the logs and the ashes and stuff because you were right there with us all day, Saturday and Sunday. He says, that's the kind of leadership we wanted in the department. And I said, Chief, my God, I had no idea. And I said, Rich didn't have any idea. He goes, Roger knew. He knew why I was sending him with you guys, because we both saw how eager you were to be good firefighters, not just to be able to say, I rode the tailboard. Yeah, yes, folks, we did still ride the tailboard for a few months when we first got in back in the mid to late 70s. And then it stopped very suddenly, especially after one guy fell off because he only tried to grab with one hand. He wasn't hurt, thank goodness, but that was the end from the chief said. That was the end.
Yeah, that was it, eh? Yeah.
That was it. But I think that every one of these steps that you've just talked about and I've talked about is part of the growing into being a firefighter.
Yeah.
You just because you get your badge and your graduation certificate doesn't make you a firefighter. Makes you a student. This was your first time being a student of the craft.
Yeah.
And as we repeat here over and over and over again, to be the best firefighter you can be, you always have to be willing to learn. And the day you want to stop learning is the day you have to walk out that door. Because we can never stop learning as firefighters. We should never, because there is never a guarantee when the tones go off or your new alert, the new silent things, which I'm thrilled to see, because yeah. I was woken up many nights when I would sleep over in the bunk room because our county radio was on constantly. It wasn't just our station being dispatched. We heard every dispatch call.
Sure. Yeah.
So now with these new systems, it's a lot easier, and our firefighters are not being awoken in that klaxons and all the lights going on.
Yes.
Sometimes it's one piece of apparatus only has to go on the call, or it's just the paramedic unit goes out and the fire. So they don't have to wake up everybody in the firehouse to do that. But to be the best in the game, and I don't mean you're competing with anybody else. If you come to this vocation or avocation, whichever one you do, career, volunteer, paid on call, WUI, whatever you do, you always have to be open to learning something new. And I'm going to close this segment by saying Crackle does that. Crackle gives the reader the opportunity to learn something new in, well, let's see, you gave me five issues. So, and this one's coming out. So in every issue that I've read, you provide the reader with information on a given level that will help them be a better firefighter and a better person.
Right.
Because it's not just about being a firefighter. We may define ourselves that way. You know, I define myself as a man of God, a husband, a father, now a grandfather, thank goodness, and a teacher, an educator. I've been teaching for over 50 years. I started when I was 13 years old, when I got hired by my synagogue to tutor some of my classmates. And I haven't stopped. I still teach today. I even got, several years ago, I got certified as a Florida fire instructor with a course about health and wellness that I taught at a local, couple of the local conferences. And then when the pandemic came in, and then I wound up getting sick in end of 2020. So that kind of precluded me from traveling. Now that I'm on kind of doing better with my health, I'm hoping that at least I'll have a chance to teach it once and again. But I think that if there's an issue that faces firefighters, and I really don't care where you are a firefighter, Canada, the US, the UK, the Middle East, the Far East, you always have to be dedicated to your task. That's number one. If you just show up and you just answer a call and you don't do much on the fire ground, you're just there to get the point for being there, that's not being a firefighter. That's just being what I call a hanger-on.
Yeah.
But if you want to be the best wherever you serve and whatever level you serve at, this magazine teaches you something from other firefighters, not necessarily officers, not necessarily chiefs, not necessarily national educators. It might be a guy who only lives 35 minutes away from you in a different department, but he wrote an article that touches a nerve on something you've been thinking about. And Crackle publishes those articles.
That's right.
To help that guy over there and that woman over there, that there, and those two folks over there who are firefighters and that one over there, because it's not making any assumptions about who the reader is. That's right. Just says probably they're firefighters.
Yeah. That's where it starts, right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably it's firefighters. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. If you're watching the video, you're not going to see anything change. If you're listening to the audio, well, you know, we'll take a pause. We'll have a couple of public service announcements, and we'll be back with our guest, Corey Pern, the publisher, editor-in-chief, and CEO of Cracker Magazine, right after these words. As always, please stay tuned. The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything! What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down, that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
It just slows me down.
It's too hard to do it and put my gear on.
I'm not comfortable.
I'm a big guy. I can't do it.
I'm just not comfortable wearing it.
You gotta be kidding me. Real firefighters don't need them.
Come on. There's no way I can wear my SCBA and my seatbelt at the same time.
Yes, we've heard all the excuses, but we can think of at least one good reason why you should buckle up. Can't you? Be a hero to those who mean the most to you. Buckle up. A message from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied or teased you? Where do you most often turn? Like many of us, you turn to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems. But there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks, like family illness, money, job problems, and more. So where do you turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family, someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station. You spend a lot of time with them, and most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy at your house of worship, or contact your SISM team. Don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you. That's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. Brought to you by 5-Alarm Task Force, along with the Critical Incident Stress Management Team in your area, close by and confidential.
If you like a good firefighting conference where you can learn, you can share, you can teach, and you can enjoy, well, the North Florida Fire Expo is the place to be. It is an affordable, unapologetically blue-collar fire conference for firefighters who are hungry to learn and improve. Our mission is to passionately pursue excellence through authentic blue-collar training. Come celebrate the fifth year anniversary, February 7th through 10th, 2024, on the beautiful beaches of Okaloosa Island, Florida. For more information, check out their website at www.NorthFloridaFireExpo.com. Again, that's www.NorthFloridaFireExpo.com. You don't want to miss it. Hello, and welcome back to this episode of 5-Alarm Task Force. With me today is my guest, Corey Pern. I should say Captain Corey Pern. He is a 20-year firefighter in Ontario, Canada. Right, you are in Ontario, right? Good. Just want to make sure. I'm just learning more about my Canadian brethren. You know, from you, I got my new friend Chief Arjuna George out on Sault Ste. Island, right? I think that's the right place. Sault Ste. Island. I have Andy also in the Greater Toronto area. So I'm learning a lot. Brad Davidson. I have to talk about Brad. Brad and I have been friends, again, never met. That's one of the things about Zoom and this podcast. Even Zoom, having Zoom is even better because I've made some wonderful friends that I've never met in real life. But we've met through the podcast. And I have two friends who are volunteer members of the board of directors of our nonprofit. I have friends all over the country that, oh, Steve, you want to come out? Come on, we'll take everything. All these great people, men and women that I've interviewed, have been kind enough to join me on the show. And just, I guess, as I said earlier in that first segment, I chose to do this to give something back to this service that I love. Yes, I was only in for a short 8 years, but I loved every minute of it. It taught me so much more about being a good human being. I wasn't a bad guy, but I wasn't always the nicest guy. And I sometimes didn't care about somebody else's problems. The fire service and then working for EMS for a year and a half as well as a fill-in taught me to be more compassionate and understanding and gave me basically what I needed to be a better husband and then eventually a father. And I think that that's so valuable. And that's why even today, when the last couple of years with all the discussion about the Gen X's, the Y's, the Z's, all these generations, well, these kids didn't come, they play video games and that's what they did. And well, you know what? Who do you think are flying our drones today for our military? It's those kids who are playing video games because they have great high eye-hand coordination. I came in with no firefighting skills. I didn't know anything about firefighting other than I admired firefighters when I was 7 years old when we had a fire behind my home. But becoming a firefighter and learning to be a firefighter taught me to be a better person. Not a better man, a better person. And I've tried to keep that close to my heart ever since. And that's why this podcast and the people I invite to be guests are so important to me, because I want every podcast to be one that somebody can walk away with and say, wow, I didn't know that. That was interesting. I haven't heard that before. Or I like that guest because they taught me something I had no idea about. So I'm hoping that our discussion today raises people's consciousness about that side of firefighting or being a firefighter or a first responder. Let's put it in more generic term, being a first responder who's still human, who's still frail, puts on a good face when he or she needs to, but can't be afraid of feeling vulnerable too, because we all are. And again, I think that the Crackle magazine looks at that same view and brings in writers or accepts articles or solicits articles that deal with these issues that a lot of the other trades don't in such a strong and open manner. Everybody is kind of accepting now, yes, the cancer initiative was because of all the carcinogens we discovered, even in something as simple as a trash cart fire. We didn't realize what was burning and we got all that stuff on us and we were wearing our bunker gear. And of course, then in 2017, 2018, we learned about PFAS and PFOS in our gear. Now we're saying, wait a second, gear, I'm risking my life to save these people and I'm wearing gear that could kill me. So I thought that it was important this season to make an emphasis on our two key initiatives, the cancer initiative and behavioral health. And you're doing both. You're doing both with Crackle. I want to say that's not just making us feel good in those kind of articles. And not every article necessarily is going to make you feel good, but it will teach you and educate you. And that's the key. We can't choose which lock we want to push out when we get into a door. Oh, I don't like that lock. I'm not going to try to knock it out to get into this house. You don't have a choice. It's this kind of a lock, and they may have double locks and chains on the inside. You don't know that until you make entry. But you need to know how to make that entry to get to the next step. If you just think you can cruise your way through a call, or, as we're talking about today, cruise your way through life, you may need to change your way of thinking.
Yeah. And I think Crackle is, again, the magazine, it's really about keeping us whole. It's not really, you know, I think I mentioned it before, is I've seen a commercial with kids. And so when I grow up, I want to be a firefighter. When I grow up, I want to be a doctor. And this little girl, you know, when she grew up, she wanted to be a drug addict. And I thought it was, you know, a campaign for, you know, and so I thought, well, putting that to firefighting, like, no firefighter gets into this career wanting to be a shell of themselves. Nobody wants to become addicted to, you know, self-medicating and, you know, losing, maybe going through a divorce, like that type of thing. So nobody wants that. So, you know, the magazine is, and the publication is really about trying to keep us like that person that walked in the door as much as we can, keep all the pieces and try to, you know, have you, again, manage your career, manage your behaviors, manage your expectations. So it's really trying to keep us whole. Not, we'll learn things, but really we're just filling a void back in, is kind of the way I look at it. So, and
that's
no
a good
one's exempt, you know,
that's a good view. My dad, may rest in peace, worked for a big supermarket chain in the Northeast, and he was a head buyer. And I remember him, he would get up like 4:30 every, he had an office job, you know, wore a suit and tie every day, but he'd be up at 4:30, be in the office an hour later, come home at 5-6 o'clock. We'd have dinner. If he had any work he had to do from the office, he'd do it. And then he'd lay on the couch and fall asleep. And then everything, that was it. The next day, Saturdays and Sundays were the only day that he didn't go to work. But we didn't see our dad a lot during the day, except if he was on vacation or if it was a weekend. And I didn't want to be an absentee father. My jobs did take me to work long hours. Even the educational jobs were, I could easily work 60 hours a week. And with my, when I went up to become an administrator, there were some days where, some weeks where I was working 7 days, 80 hours a week. But when I was home, I always made time for special time for my wife or my girls as they were born. And they were still relatively young when I got, you know, knocked out. So I was able to keep even more of that with them. And then when I hurt my back, which turned out to be, we believe, going all the way back to an accident at a state fire school, where one leg went through the floor of a house. My wife was working 6 days a week. So I was raising my girls. I was home on disability. And I raised my girls. I took them through from probably 5 or 6, you know, 5 and 7, to being young women.
Yeah, what a gift.
So as angry as I was about my back going out and what caused it, when we kind of traced it back and everything like that, it still was a beautiful gift that I was able to raise my girls, take them to school every day, pick them up every day, and watch them as they grew into young women and successful professionals on their own. And we're still very, very, very close.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things when I got into the fire service, I never thought of, because if I had stayed in the trade, I would have been gone every day, you know, and been on call. And I wouldn't have raised the kids the way that I did being a firefighter. Even like you said, we have long hours, but we're also, there was, you know, that shift work allowed us to, you know, be able to be home to raise kids, to raise, you know, raise our families. So, and I think I learned more from raising them than I've ever taught them, you know, and it was a heck of a, an experience, we'll say, but, and it was almost like the yin and the yang, where, you know, firefighting is very abrasive and, you know, it's a dirty job and you got to, you know, be at the top of your game and all these things where, and then you go home and you've got a little kid hanging off your finger and, you know, and you're going to the park. Like it was just the best decompression that right. You could have ever had, but you didn't know what was happening. You didn't know that was, you know, rejuvenating you to and filling your coffers to be able to go back and do it again, you know, and go back to work. And so it's, yeah, it was definitely something that changed me in a way. And I was able to be the type of dad that I wanted to be. So I'm very grateful for that too. And it's, I see young firefighters with their kids, and you know, we always say just enjoy it. Don't, you know, don't wish it away, you know, embrace it. And, you know, because it's a grind too, right? I mean, kids are sick or you're going, but you get to go on the field trips with them. And right. This is something that firefighters have always had access to. And I never thought about it. It's like, you know, my dad worked long hours. My mom raised us in that sense, right? That nurture, right. Where firefighters have always had a huge part of their children's development, which is, had no idea that was happening. So it was right. Like this underground society of, you know, well, you know, it is a male dominated industry, especially back in the day, but men have been raising children, which is kind of, I didn't know that happened, to be honest.
Right.
Not right. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had been still working where I was at the time I hurt my back in 92, I don't think I would have had that same, I would have today that same relationship that I have with my daughters today.
And I think this is the key though. This is, if you can appreciate that and be aware of that, you know, that's something to really hold on to. And, you know, you have bad days, you know, on the job, but you think about that part of it, it makes it help make a bit more sense as well.
Yeah. You know. I kept their pictures in my wallet. So when I was really down or a little bit out, I would just take those pictures out. I said, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and it's for them. And yeah, I was a little, you know, as the more I learned about fire protection and fire prevention, you know, I became a little bit of an ogre myself, trying to, you know, but I was trying to keep them safe.
Yeah.
You know, from what I had learned. So I believe that I did that with the best of intents and out of love for my kids. I may not have been as smooth as I could have been.
Actually, you know, that's a big part of it. We have that generational trauma where we're passing our, we know too much. So we try to protect, definitely our kids. And, you know, we overprotect them because we've seen things and we know the world is not fair sometimes. And, you know, so we pass that through our kids instead of just letting them walk and go to the park, where we'd rather walk with them and drop them off or in on
right.
Late. Right. That's the way it is. Right. So, yeah, but it's definitely, you know, these are all articles that need to be written, you know, really.
Sure, sure. And I think that boils down to really what's so valuable with the magazine is that most of the other trades won't publish an article about raising your kids as a firefighter when right. You're a firefighter, sure. You know, and what it's like. But Crackle will.
Yes.
Or wants to. Crackle would like to do an article about.
Well, these things are important to firefighters. This is what we talk about at the kitchen table. This is these, you know, when you listen to, even if it's just purchasing a vehicle, you know, you're kind of looking at what pickup truck to buy. Like it's, we talk about that with ourselves, you know,
right.
Right. The kitchen table. Those are the things that we really want to try to figure out. You know, that's the stuff that's important, you know, and I think, you know, again, it's we learn so much from each other, and that's how we problem solve is
exactly
sounding boards and, you know,
sharing knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right.
Yeah. So all these, you know, these are all topics that are fair game for Crackle for sure.
Right. And that's important because today, especially in the world that we live in, where, as we've seen the past 72 hours, we're holding this interview on Tuesday, the 10th of October. And we're all aware of what has occurred in the Middle East since Saturday. I have family in Israel. I've lived in Israel. So this is very difficult for my wife and I and our daughters and my son-in-law to watch. We all have very still close affiliations with the state, but we have to do what we can from this side to let our families and friends over there know that we are not just looking at news clips. We are thinking of them in our hearts and our prayers every day, that a peaceful and rapid solution can be found to the horrible turmoil that's been there. Too many lives have been lost on both sides in 72 hours. This, as you may have heard in the news, this is Israel's 9/11. We know what we went through 21 years ago. And we don't want to see anybody else go through that. Whether we agree with their politics or not, nobody should go through what these two groups of people. And let's remember, they're all people. Mm-hmm. They're not robots on a mad dash. They're all people. They all have hearts. They all have brains. They all have loves and desires and wants and people they care about. Both, everybody. If we can have a difference of opinion in politics in North America, in our two countries, and sometimes we get vociferous about it, and sometimes we just, that's okay. That's okay, because everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But you can't force. It's the same thing with education. When you read articles in Crackle or any other magazine of any kind, it's not telling you what you have to do. It's giving you something to think about. And then what you do with that is how you process what you've read. So these articles in Crackle magazine are not just to teach us tactics and friction loss and what size hose, VES, flow paths. This magazine is talking about the humanity behind all of that, how we do the job we do as people, as humans. And whether you want to compare yourself to the CEO of a Fortune 100 company or you're a firefighter at the kitchen table, we all have pulls and pushes in our lives. No one's life is perfect. They may say it is, but the fact is that very, very, very few of us have perfect lives. There are always going to be bumps in the road. If you're a firefighter, you get dedicated to the task, then you want to have a well-rounded education. You need more than just, how do I punch out a lock? How do I do VES? How do I calculate friction loss? You need to know how to work with and for other people so that you can be the best that you can be. And I can tell you from reading the five issues that I have in hand that this magazine helps ground us. I think that's the best way of putting it. It helps ground us as to tell, remind us that we're firefighters, but we're humans first. And we have all the, we have all the talents on the strong side and weaknesses of anybody else. We may think of ourselves as heroes, but don't let it get to you, go to your head, because you can make a mistake just like that. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, just means you made a mistake. And we try to look for guidance of how to do our jobs better. And part of doing our jobs better is being better people.
Being better. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
And I will say, like, all our past issues are available online at our, on our website. They're all archived there. It's free. We have tons of articles on, you know, on our website as well. And then, yeah, we do have the print subscription model, but everything, you have access to your readers and anybody that, that wants to kind of take a look at what you're talking about. It's all there.
Well, there it is. Again, the, we'll put it in the show notes, but the website is at www.crackle, again, spelled CRACKYLMAG, cracklemag.com. And when you get to the website, they'll allow you to put in your email address and you can get on the mailing list. So you'll know when new issues are coming out, and you can find them on social media again at Crackle Mag. And you can get all the information you need to make an informed decision if you want to read the magazine. I can tell you that I only wish we had a magazine like this back in my day. Because this magazine talks a lot about what a lot of us went through back in the 70s and 80s as firefighters, because we didn't know any better. We just acted like everybody else acted. And nobody talked about this stuff. Again, we talked about the old way, the old phrase, suck it up. And I got that on that bad call. And maybe that's why my buddy and I never let that go. It's still, you know, it doesn't overwhelm us, but it still bothers us, that call and a couple of the others. And that's okay, because that shows we're human. We're not robots. You cannot shut down your emotions because you're a firefighter. We focus our attention on the emergency at hand. That's what we do. That's why we do this job. To
the
focus
more
our energy.
You are to your emotions.
Exactly.
The better you will be at this job.
That's it. That's, could you say that again? Because I think I may have cut you off. Please.
I'm just saying that the more in tune we are with our emotions, the more longevity and behavior, like, again, that's how we will be able to get through this job. It's being in tune with ourselves and not suppressing things and trying to, you know, find other means to medicate and deal with things. It's really about understanding, you know, how we process these things that are happening to us. It's not all, bad stuff. It's, some things are great and you don't stop to recognize that. There's that too. It's not all negative. It's really, you know, managing and balancing and filtering what's happening and what, you know, and then how we're processing that.
Right. And that's a very great point that we can sum it up with, because, you know, we firefighters have always been seen as the heroes of America and in Canada and any country, the heroes of their community. Sometimes we pay a very high price for that role, because there are certain conditions on a fire ground or a rescue ground that we can't for, foretell or foresee, and it catches up with us. But our actions, we do get to control. And we're always pulled, like the little cartoon from the old days with the little kid wants to do something, and on one side, the little angel pops up, says, "Don't do that. That's not nice." And the other side, the little devil pops up and says, "Oh, go ahead and do it. Who's going to find out? Nobody's going to know." We don't have that luxury to have a debate between the angel and the devil. We have a clear path. We have to take care of the people and property in our communities. That's our job. That's our job. But before that job is the job of being a human and being with whatever family we are with and we have. That's our first job. And being members of a community. Then we go to work as firefighters or law enforcement or EMS people. And yeah, some of those days can be really bad. Some of those days can be great. I remember delivering my first baby. I was crying my eyes out. I was so happy. It was an amazing opportunity to see. I remember losing my first patient doing CPR, and I felt like I had failed. It was my fault that person died. And my chief kept telling me, "Stephen, you were doing compressions for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. You wouldn't let anybody else do it. You were giving him all you had. You did the best you could. It just didn't work this time." Now I can look back at that with a little more experience in life and say that I did my best. Because yeah. I was the first one on the scene. I would have had to go past the scene to get to the station. So I just went right to the scene and started doing CPR. Now I can understand that I did what I was supposed to do to the best of my ability under the circumstances. And I don't have anything to blame myself for because it was right. Sometimes we're very hard on ourselves as firefighters or law enforcement officers or paramedics as first responders. Let's make sure that we keep a straight head on our shoulders. Yes, as we said earlier, life is always going to throw changes and different paths at us. Some are great, some are good, and some stink. But we don't always have the choice of which path we can take. Sometimes we're forced down certain paths. But oftentimes, you can change that path if you want to. And there are people who care about you and about helping you change that path. And a lot of them, just other firefighters, and they really care. They don't just care about themselves and their fellow firefighters in that department. They care about firefighters in general. And that's why we write articles. That's why any of us write articles for any of the trades. We want to express something to readers that will help them in some way. Crackle, which does cover fire stories as well, but Crackle is geared to the being a firefighter and the lifestyle that comes along with that. Again, you can be career, you can be volunteer, part pay, whatever, but you're still a firefighter. And this is a magazine that I only wish had been there 47 years ago to guide me, not on tactics, not on fireground tactics. I was getting plenty of that, but to get me on lifestyle tactics. That's what I could have learned back then.
Absolutely.
And nobody was teaching it back then.
Right.
You just had to learn it by the seat of your pants, as they say.
Yes. Yeah.
Corey, thank you so much for taking time from a very busy schedule. I was, as I said, beginning before we start recording, I'm so glad you had a great presence at Firehouse Expo.
Yes.
I followed on social media, saw the pictures, and to me, that was your first time there, right? Was that the first
right.
time? Yeah. So to get such a positive experience and great traffic at the booth is wonderful. And I hope that that brings a whole bunch more subscriptions. But I want to thank you for your dedication, not just to the fire service where you work, but to the fire service in general in both our countries. There's very little difference, folks, between firefighters in here in the U.S. and in Canada. we're brothers. The IAFF, both places, for our career brothers and sisters, taking care of them. It's just a matter of putting your head on straight and say, I want to be the best human and firefighter that I can be. Can you always be better than that next person? Not necessarily, but that's not what matters. What matters is what's best for you and your life and your family, basically.
That's right.
And that's what that's what you bring to the table with each issue that I've read so far.
I appreciate that.
It means a lot. Means a lot. Folks, again, in the show notes, we'll have all Corey's information up there for you in the magazine. We want to thank him once again for joining us on this episode of Five Alum Task Force. We thank you for tuning in. If you're a viewer, this is where the show is going to end. If you listen to the audio podcast, you know that we'll have our break. We'll be back with a few more segments coming up on different matters. So our thanks to Corey Pern at Crackle Magazine for sharing some time with us, telling us about this magazine. And even if I was not going to be published, I still like this magazine very, very much. This is not a personal, you rub my back, I'll rub yours. This is something that I learned from reading the issues that I was sent, because I want to learn more about it. Corey was kind enough to send me about a half dozen issues. And I learned so much about who I was and who I could have been had I had this info back in my day. So I can only say that for you, as folks who are listening or watching, this is a great way to get back to who you are, and that you don't have to wear blinders. I'm a firefighter. That's all I do. I'm a firefighter. You're a human being first. You got to take care of yourself. As we always say, if you want to take care of others, you got to take care of yourself first. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be with you in 2 weeks, I believe, for our next episode. Remember, please take care of each other. Be kind. Say prayers for everybody in the Middle East, please. We need them. Let's make sure everyone goes home. Thanks, folks. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Five Alarm Task Force.
The physical and mental demands of a firefighter place major stress on our minds and body, and especially our heart. Far too many of our brothers and sisters in the fire and emergency service are lost each year due to cardiac arrest. In fact, statistics show that those of us active in this profession are much more susceptible to cardiac arrest than the general population. Too often, ignoring the warning signs is a fatal decision. Your body will definitely be signaling to you that something is wrong. A feeling that you have never had before. If you don't feel well, don't make it your farewell. Seek medical attention immediately. If someone under your command or in your unit is not feeling well, don't send them home. Don't send them to the bunk hall. Insist they get checked immediately. Let's change the culture in our profession, in our departments, of ignoring the warning signs our bodies are telling us. Visit IAFC.org to learn how.
This message is brought to you by the International Association of Fire Chiefs and this podcaster.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve. In spending some time over this summer during our trip up north for a family wedding, I was honored and privileged to receive from our guest, Corey Pern, several issues of Crackle Magazine. For my own edification, basically. I needed to know more about the magazine before I could invite Corey as a guest. So I spent some time going through these. And as I said in the podcast, if you were able to listen to it, is that I found this magazine to be centered on basically the two major topics we have worked so hard over the last 5 and 6 years to bring to you, which is issues about firefighter health and wellness, and, of course, our behavioral health initiative. We've talked to you folks and had various guests on to talk about the strain that our bodies are under as firefighters. We don't always eat the best foods. We don't always conduct ourselves in a healthy manner, to say it politely. We overeat. We overdrink. We don't eat the greatest foods for us, etc. But we're human. And we have urges, and we have yens and desires and foods we like, and that's understandable. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we realize that everything that we, as firefighters, put in our body can have a positive, a negative, or a neither effect on us. So yes, a lot of times we look for those food items and beverages that will help us do our job better. We look in our personal diets to make better selections, better choices. Sure, every once in a while we go out and splurge a little bit, and that's okay as long as we don't overdo it. But we need to also be sure we turn that inner eye to a deeper level of our health. Number one is what we face every day. The carcinogenic products that we know are the result of combustible burning. Whether it was an old trash dumpster in the back of a store that we used to just pull the reel line for, knock it out. Most of us didn't even close our jackets, let alone put on an SCBA. Yep, that's the way it was in my day. So what do we do? What do we do about it? Well, thankfully, we've had some great leaders in the fire service, from medicine, from psychology and psychiatry, helping guide us through webinars, through articles in the trades, etc., about how to live healthier, better, and please, Lord above, longer lives. We want to have successful careers. Whether you want to stay as a basic firefighter or you want to work your way up to chief of department, that's your call. But whether you want to stay at that ground level or you want to go up to the clouds and be a chief of department, there are still stressors and difficulties and aggravation and challenges that we will all face. And it's how we meet those challenges, what we do about them, that will have the largest effects on us and who we are. We've all worked long hours on calls, maybe extra shifts that we had to cover for somebody else, or we needed the extra shift for a couple of more dollars. And that's okay from time to time. You can't do it all the time. Most of us have some form of family, whether we're married with kids, we live with significant other, we live with family, our parents, brothers and sisters, etc. And they care about us. They care about the job we do. They're proud of us. The vast majority of them are. But we have to be careful. Because we want to make sure, to the best of our ability, to come home to them after every shift or after every call. We want them to be proud of who we are and what we do. But if we don't take care of ourselves, the negative impacts can be, let's say, distressing at the very least. Luckily, our guest, Corey Pern, and his magazine, Crackle Magazine, is dedicated to that firefighter lifestyle and how we can take better care of ourselves, both physically and mentally. So whether or not you like the podcast, whether or not you want to read the magazine, what it all boils down to is we want you to take care of yourself. Take care of your brother and sister firefighters. Help them in the same way that you help yourself. Because that's what we do, isn't it? Before we help others, we help each other. Make sure our gear is on, right? Make sure we're ready to respond on the call, et cetera, et cetera. Let's make sure that we take care of each other and take care of ourselves. And that's my view. We're really glad to have you listening to 5 Alarm Task Force. But we also want you to know that there are other terrific fire service podcasts available. Here's the short list. Number 1, Beneath the Helmet with Chief Arjuna George. Number 2, Student of the Game with Danny Beauvais. Number 3, B-Shifter with Chief John Vance, Josh Blum, and Nick Brunosini. Number 4, The Professional Brotherhood with Chief Brian Soler. Number 5, The Five-Tool Firefighter with Nick Higgins of the Firehouse Tribune. Number 6, Station Talk with Assistant Chief Tom Marciano. Number 7, Flow and Vent. Number 8, DTFF, Down to Fight Fire from British Columbia Volunteers. Number 9, Better Every Shift with Aaron Zamzow. Number 10, Firefighter Success with Captain Jim Moss. Number 11, Code 3, The Firefighters Podcast. Number 12, Make Do with Nick Peppard and Sean Duffy. Number 13, Getting Salty. And number 14, Fit to Fight Fire. Remember, to be a great firefighter, you must always be willing to learn. This message is brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One mission, one family, first responders helping each other.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
And that wraps this episode of 5 Alarm Task Force, brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guest, Corey Pern, the editor-in-chief and CEO of Crackle Media, as we discuss the magazine Crackle for firefighter health and wellness. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for 5 Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, the Firehouse Tribune, and LifeScan Wellness Centers, as well as our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sights, Thin Red Line Decon, Hass Alert, Pry Guy Levers and Nesta Bars, Silva Arrow Coaching and Consulting, and we welcome Crackle Magazine as a promotional partner as well, the EFT Corporation, Health KPI, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @5alarmtaskforce. on Facebook at facebook.com/5, A as in Apple, T as in Tango, F as in Foxtrot, C as in Charlie, and on YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel, 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, our nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.